Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to continue in our Biblical Truths About God series by talking about the truth that God is just. But if we believe that God is just, then why do we often react the way we do to this truth? Why do we question God's justice? To begin to answer this question, I want us to think about something that I read recently. Imagine with me that history had happened differently. And at the end of World War II, Adolf Hitler didn't die, and he didn't or mysteriously disappear, but he was captured. And then he appeared before the International Military Tribunal in the Nuremberg trials. Now imagine that after hours and hours of testimony against him, the tribunal made the decision and said, "We see what you've done. We see all the millions of people that you've murdered. But we think you've learned your lesson, so we're gonna let you go." And they made a verdict of not guilty. If you heard that, what do you think would rise up inside of you? Anger? Outrage? Indignation at this grave injustice? Human beings have a sense that evil needs to be punished and that every person needs to be treated fairly and with justice. This comes from the truth that all of us are created in the image of God. Because God is just, we also desire justice. However, unlike God, we can be easily influenced by our own feelings and biases. So it's really important to recognize that humans' understanding of justice is based on their worldly views and perspectives. All of us desire fairness, but we fail to recognize that fairness does not always equal justice. One way to define fairness is to say that it's equal distribution without discrimination. I read an example of this idea, the difference between fairness and justice, and it got me thinking. So just for a second, imagine a parent who has three kids, and for their dessert at the end of the evening, they give them cookies. They want the cookies to be the same size, and they want to give them the same number of cookies. That would be fair, wouldn't it? But they haven't taken into consideration the children's ages, their metabolisms, how they react to sugar, or what if one of the kids is diabetic? Well, once you take all those things into consideration, especially if one of the children does have diabetes, it's not really the most just decision to just indiscriminately give them all the same amount of cookies, unless, you know, maybe it's one small cookie, maybe. And as one writer put it, if God was fair, either all humans would go to heaven, no matter what kind of lives they'd lived, or no one would go to heaven because no one actually deserves it. That would be fair. So not only is fair different from just, but it may not always work out the way we think it should, or the way we hope. Humans also are not naturally fair or just. We tend to choose a family member or a friend over someone we don't know, and it's pretty true that it matters more who you know than what you know. Often we want justice when it fits our own interests. A great example of this is at sporting events. I'm not a huge sports fan, but I've been to my share of games. And something I've seen over and over is that we want the referee to make a call that really favors our team. Whether or not it's a just call, many times is not something we're thinking about. We're really more concerned with how it helps our own team or how it gives the advantage to the other team. And we're also fickle as human beings when it comes to God's justice. We don't want God to punish us or others eternally if we don't choose to follow him, and we don't want to experience the consequences of our sins. But we do want blatant evil, such as the crimes of Adolf Hitler, like I mentioned earlier, to be punished. We struggle with justice because we view it from our perspective and understanding. But earlier I discussed that God is just, and that that's a biblical truth. But what exactly does it mean that God is just? Well, before we really talk about the definition, I want us to review what we've learned so far in this sermon series. We've learned that God is love, God is sovereign, God is faithful, and God hates sin. When we think of all of these truths about God, we need to realize that they are also part of God's justice. God is just, and he's also loving. He's also faithful. He is sovereign, and he's consistently true in his hate of sin. That doesn't change. So because we know all these things about God, we can also trust that God is just. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32:3-4. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. We can start to see a little bit of what it means that God's just in these verses. We see that God's works are perfect and all his ways are just. He's faithful. He does no wrong. He's upright. And to describe God as just, we could actually use a few other words too. We could say God is righteous. God is consistent. He's virtuous and he's right. The bottom line of God's justice is that it comes down to what is right and wrong according to God. Throughout scripture, we see God's justice in different ways. We see that God is perfectly righteous in his treatment of his creatures. He does not show partiality. He commands against the mistreatment of others, which means he defends and protects the vulnerable. He executes vengeance against the oppressors, and he is just in meting out rewards and punishments. I'm going to give you a few examples from scripture that really show God's justice in action, you could say. Deuteronomy 10:17-18 in the NIV says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing." Some specific ways that God defends the cause of the vulnerable are in certain laws that he made for Israel. He said that debts had to be forgiven after 7 years, and indentured servants were to be released after 7 years. God also commanded that non-Israelite people were not to be taken advantage of. But what if you committed a sin, not what something already mentioned, against someone else? According to God's law, restitution had to be made. Justice had to be served. Leviticus 25:19-20 says that anyone who injures their neighbor is to be injured in the same manner. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury. This verse makes everything exactly right and fair, right? But we would also have a lot of eyeless, toothless people in our hands if we kept living this way. But what about us? Maybe you haven't physically injured someone, but you've probably broken one of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever lied? Have you stolen something? And let me just say that since the age of the internet, there are so many new ways of stealing that we probably didn't even think about in the past. And it's a lot easier to get away with. Have you coveted? After Pastor Andrew's sermon last week, we know that the definition of sin is not as simple as committing an act. It has to do with the condition of our heart. Let's face it, we've all sinned. And we don't want God to punish us as our sins deserve, because we deserve to be eternally separated from God. So how can God remain perfectly just and not punish us this way? Well, God's justice is satisfied in the work of Jesus Christ. We see this in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. From this passage, we see that every human has sinned and deserves to be punished. And God's justice requires death or the shedding of blood to pay the penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. He atoned for our sins, all sins, past, present, and future sins, through his death on the cross. And through his death, Jesus satisfied God's justice. So now, because justice has been done, God can freely justify or forgive and make righteous those who receive his gift of grace by faith. For those who repent and receive the free gift of salvation, the eternal consequence of death is taken away. We may still face the immediate consequences of our sins. Restitution still needs to be made, though not in the same physical way mentioned in Leviticus. And sometimes our sins are forgiven by others as God forgives us. Something else we need to remember about God's justice is that it's based on the eternal. It's not just a matter of the here and now. What about murderers who get off? What about drug dealers or traffickers? Anyone who seems to be getting away with taking advantage of the weak and profiting from it. If they don't repent or turn to God, they'll face eternal judgment. The key word here is eternal. God doesn't guarantee that every evil, unrepentant sinner will get what they deserve on earth. They may not, but they will face eternal judgment from God. In the same way, those who do not repent, surrender their lives to Jesus, and accept him as Savior and Lord will face eternal judgment. This applies to everyone. Well, knowing this about God's justice can make it hard to swallow. So let me explain why the biblical truth that God is just is important. We all desire justice. And as I mentioned earlier, this is because we're made in God's image. And since we desire justice, it's important to have a deeper understanding of what it is so we don't get caught up in our own flawed interpretations of justice and start to believe that God is unjust. Also, as followers of Christ, God calls us to live justly. We can only do this when we truly understand what it means that God is just. We'll talk more about how to live justly in our Sunday morning Zoom gathering. Right now, let's talk about some ways that we can grow in our belief and trust in God's justice. How can we take this concept that God is just beyond something that we believe just in our minds and to where we really believe it in our hearts? The first is that we can pray in agreement with the Lord's Prayer, asking for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we're asking for God's will, we're asking that God would be who he is, that he would be just, that he would be loving, that he would be sovereign, faithful, and consistent. So when we pray for God's will to be done on earth, we're also praying for God's justice. Something else we can do is recognize that life on earth is temporary and eternity is a lot longer. Let me read James 4:15. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James compares our life to a mist, something that's briefly here and then gone. Compared to eternity, life on earth is brief. It's fleeting, just like mist. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us if there are areas in our lives where we've lost sight of the eternal, of the truth that God's kingdom is our goal, not personal advancement or anything else. Ask God to show you where you are too focused on the temporary aspects of life. One other way we can grow in our belief in God's justice is by remembering that God's justice will be established when Jesus comes again and reigns for eternity. Acts 17:31 says, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Jesus is coming back, and he will judge all of us at that time. Having an eternal perspective of God's kingdom and believing that he will enact justice in his way and his time helps us trust and believe that God is just. To return to where we started today, I just want to remind and recap that we know that a human understanding of justice is influenced by worldly views and perspectives. Yet God is perfectly just, and his justice is based on what he says is right and wrong. I'm glad that it's God's job and not mine to mete out justice. As much as I like to decide what's fair or just, I know that I have limited, imperfect understanding, and I don't have the ability to make the sacrifices or the tough calls that God has to make. I'm reminded of this when I think about salvation. Does it seem just that Jesus was crucified in our place? Would you switch places with Jesus? This also helps me recognize that if we got what we deserved, we would be eternally separated from God. Justice has a much higher cost than most of us are willing to pay. With this in mind, let's remember that God is just. He is far better suited to be judge of his creation. We will not always understand his ways of bringing about justice or his timing, but we can trust that God is just in all his ways, and he will bring about justice on the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you because you are just. We thank you that you teach us what it means to live justly, and God, that you are at work bringing justice in your own time and way. God, we ask for your help to trust you because, Lord, we get discouraged. Lord, we don't always see justice. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand what it really means that you're just. So I pray that through this sermon, God, and through studying your word, God, this coming week, that we would have a greater understanding of what it means that you're just, and that you'd open our hearts to really understand. Lord, help us to be willing to look at things that we haven't looked at before, even in ourselves, to understand and see what your justice means, and to look at our own lives to see whether or not we're living justly. We ask you, God, to just help us this week and guide us. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you that you are at work in our world, God, and that you are faithful and you are just. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We look forward to seeing you on Zoom.